In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, particularly students who are awaiting assignment of vicarage and placement into the pastoral ministry in congregations and ministries of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It's my prayer this day and in the days, weeks, years ahead that the grace, the mercy, and the peace of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will fill your lives and hearts beyond your expectations. For it is by the grace of God that we receive what we do not deserve, His love, His forgiveness, the hope and promise of eternal life with Him someday in heaven. It is in God's mercy that we do not receive what we do deserve, His wrath and displeasure and punishment. And it is through the blessing of God's peace that His grace and His mercy are made real in our lives, the peace that passes all understanding. I'm always inspired by stories of Christians who live out their faith in an atmosphere and climate of persecution and perhaps even martyrdom. We don't hear many of those kinds of stories from the people in this country, at least not to the point of death. But there are many that have occurred throughout history. In fact, I heard a story from a Christian speaker just the other day that during the past century, more Christians have died for their faith than the sum total of all the centuries from the time of Christ until 1900. And while we are privileged to live here in this country where we can express freely by congregating and gathering and proclaiming the word of our gracious God without fear of physical persecution, there are indeed many countries around the world where that is not the case. For example, this story from Pakistan came across a Christian news service this week. It tells of a pastor who was recently killed after reportedly being tortured. The bodies of Shamoon Babar, 37 years of age, and his driver, Daniel Emmanuel, 36, were found on April 7th of this year in Peshawar, capital of Northwest Frontier Province. According to the All Pakistan Minorities Alliance, Babar and Emmanuel were kidnapped on April 5. The investigation so far has led to the arrest of a man and a woman, both accused of double homicide. Babar belonged to the Jesus Pan Gospel Church in Yusufabad near Peshawar. In case you're familiar with these terms, you know that I'm not, because I'm probably not pronouncing them correctly. I'm doing the best I can. Some family members say that Babar had been receiving anonymous threats asking him to stop church activities. This news source said the increasing number of attacks on believers is terrifying Pakistani Christians. On Easter Sunday, Islamic gunmen opened fire, killing one worshiper and severely injuring seven others during attack on the Apostolic Church at Kamba near Lahore. You probably have heard similar stories to this particular one, which raise the point that suffering and death for the sake of Christ may be a part of our walk as Christian people. We even include it in our confirmation vows. We say we are ready to suffer and even to die for our faith. I believe that such an appeal is echoed also in our text for today from Hebrews chapter 13. Jesus suffered outside the gate. Verse 11. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the gate. Those sacrificial animals were burned outside the gate, but the blood was brought into the sanctuary for the sin of the people, to atone for the sin of the people. Verse 12. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. In showing the community, the continuity of the sacrificial system, fulfilled in none other than Jesus Christ our Lord, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Hebrews were reminded that Christ suffered and died on the cross outside the gate. The righteousness of the blood of his sacrifice was brought into the temple, shown by the tearing of the veil in the temple from top to bottom. The blood of the sacrifice, the sacrificial Lamb of God, has torn down the wall of sin so that we can go forth outside the gates, even as we go in suffering in the name and the manner of Christ. Through the suffering of Christ, who went outside the gates of the glories of heaven, you and I receive what we do not deserve because of our sin, the very salvation of our God. These verses in Hebrews serve to remind us that the life of Christ was one of suffering, and the life of the Christian is one of suffering. But what can it mean for us today to suffer outside the gates for Christ? Verse 13 says, let us therefore go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. As those who benefit eternally from the righteousness of the blood of Jesus poured upon us in holy baptism, you know the words, baptized into his death, the appeal is made to go outside the gates to Jesus, to bear his reproach, that of the suffering servant. That reproach may be ours as well, bearing the name of the Christ that we proclaim. And so even as we receive the benefits of the sacrifice of his blood, the washing away of our sin, the wearing of the robe made white by the blood of the Lamb, we do that in the temples of our bodies as we receive his body and blood through the very bread and wine of the sacrament of the altar. So we also must be ready to bear our cross, the cross of sacrifice in our own lives, ready to suffer outside the gate for the sake of Christ and the gospel. This is a calling that you and I receive as individual Christians. It's also a calling that many of us receive as called ministers of the word and sacrament. The question I raise for your consideration today, each and every one of you, and a question I ask myself, are you ready to suffer outside the gates, particularly those who are being prepared, maybe even in these last days of your initial preparation to lead God's people in mission and ministry? The message of the cross remains foolishness to the world. To a certain degree, my brothers and sisters in Christ, particularly my brothers in Christ as you prepare to enter the pastoral ministry, ridicule and reproach await you. When you leave this seminary, be ready to go outside the gates. Many think of the church and ministry as merely a refuge occupied with the events that occur within the church's walls, inside the gates. Our ministry is not confined to the four walls of a church building. We cannot and must not be afraid to set foot outside the gates, to engage the world. And we dare not be afraid, even if we know that suffering and persecution await us for doing so. And yet, there are in the body of Christ, and even in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, ministers of the gospel called, ordained, commissioned, and good and faithful lay people who, for whatever reason, do that very thing, stay inside the gates. And in the process, churches dwindle in mission and in ministry, in boldness and in courage, and yes, in faithfulness and in fruitfulness. As ministers of the gospel, we are called to engage the world outside the gates. We are called to be ready to suffer reproach, rebuke, ridicule, and if necessary, even death. We cannot and must not be comfortable in roles that seek only to serve ourselves and those of us inside the walls of the temple. We must engage the world outside the gates. What I'm saying is that we cannot be comfortable with a practice in ministry that seeks the least in duty required to maintain a ministry within the walls when we know that there is a whole world perishing eternally outside the gates. We must be ready to lay down our lives in sacrifice outside the gates for the sake of Christ, even in the face of ridicule or reproach from the world, and even in the face of ridicule or reproach from those inside the gates themselves. Outside the gate is the world for which Christ gave his life. Outside the gate is the world that needs the one message that Christ alone is the Savior of the world. Outside the gate is where Christ suffered and where we are being called to minister, even to suffer on his behalf. And so I repeat the question of a few moments ago. Are you ready to suffer outside the gate for Christ? The church of our Lord Jesus Christ needs men and women who are ready to suffer for Christ. Men in the office of the pastoral ministry, men and women in the various and sundry roles which we are all called upon to fulfill in our Christian vocation and professional calling. It is my hope and prayer that you are ready to suffer outside the gates and to do so willingly and wholeheartedly because of the love of Christ in your lives. For I believe the hostility of the world, including in our own country, will continue to become greater and greater against the church and its people. And so it's the love of Christ that must compel us, even with greater boldness and faithfulness and fruitfulness as the day of the Lord draws near, even unto physical suffering and death. I leave you with the focus for such living in the concluding words of our text for today. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.